The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It was moving day. The beginning, I know, of a very, very difficult, hard day. I got up from sleeping on the floor in our student apartment at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary and started to pack the final boxes into the already stuffed U-Haul truck. I and Abby were incredibly sore and slow moving from the all-day load the truckathon that took place the day before. Pam and Fred, Abby's parents, who still live in the Bay Area in California where the Seminary Pacific Lutheran is located, came over at 7 o'clock or so for a final breakfast before we started off for this crazy place called Missoula, Montana. About 10 friends that we had grown close to during our time at seminary came over, and we had one final brief Godspeed send-off prayer and service together. And after multiple hugs and kisses, we climbed into the U-Haul and began to slowly make our journey down Delaware Street. And looking in the rearview mirror of the truck, I will never forget the image of our friends and Pam and Fred waving to us until we were so far down the street we couldn't see them anymore. Both Abby and I began to sob uncontrollably. This was perhaps one of the hardest experiences of our lives, certainly in our marriage, moving from the student and family community of the Bay Area in California to Missoula, Montana, where Abby would start her master's degree and where we knew or had contact with almost nobody except for this random phone number that I had of this Lutheran campus pastor named John Lund. We drove for a couple days, stopping in Portland, Oregon to visit Abby's sister Hannah, who was living there at the time. And then we finally found ourselves on top of Lookout Pass and winding our way down into the state of Montana. And a few hours later, we ran into a really big rainstorm, and the wind was just really bucking the truck. So it slowed us down quite a bit. But we finally found our way into the Missoula Valley. And as we rounded that corner, you know that turn that 90 does right at 9 Mile? We witnessed this incredible rainbow that was over Mount Sentinel. And at that moment, it was incredibly beautiful. And I know Abby and I looked around and we said, "Wow, what an incredible place this valley is." And at that moment, I felt this intense sense of warmness in my body, like someone or something was wrapping me in this blanket. I felt filled with spirit in a way that was really powerful and profound. It was an encounter with the divine, I feel, that I kept actually coming back to, that rainbow. Through my days of painting and staining log homes with Jim York, York Painting, through my interviews with different call committees, through finding a place to live in Missoula, through getting called to be pastor at Our Savior's Lutheran Church, that rainbow kept coming back to me. You know, the Transfiguration story is really, really difficult for many pastors because it's just kind of weird. Jesus lighting up like a Christmas tree and hanging out with some Old Testament prophets. All right, how does one relate to that? But at the very base of it, I believe, this is a story of encounter beyond explanation. The Gospel of Mark has multiple what we call literary themes, many themes that we're kind of going through in our Bible study before worship every Sunday. And one of these themes, as it's trying to wrestle with this question of who is this man, Jesus, one of the themes that it begins, now our Bible study hasn't gotten to this point, so I guess I'm just going to give it away just a little bit. Spoiler alert, that's right, is in chapter 9, where this story is. Chapter 9 is a big deal in the Gospel of Mark because it is halfway, it's the halfway point in the middle of the Gospel. And it's a huge pivot point where Jesus, doing his public ministry in the countryside of Galilee, and now he pivots to being on a journey to Jerusalem, a specific destination. And it's no big secret that this journey to Jerusalem, which begins in chapter 9 at the Transfiguration story, is going to be very, very challenging. Most likely, Jesus' disciples, we think probably around the age of 15 or so, give or take, they had never been to Jerusalem before. They were too far away and too poor to make the journey. And Jerusalem was no cakewalk. It's where all the Jewish scribes and chief priests were at, the enormous Jewish temple, perhaps the largest structure in the ancient Mideast at that time. And of course, King Herod, the Roman ruler and the abusive occupying power of Rome, the Roman army, they were all present in the city of Jerusalem. And I am sure all the disciples knew that if Jesus kept acting and teaching and saying the things that he said, there was going to be some trouble in Jerusalem. And of course, the Roman Empire and Jerusalem weren't the only problems and challenges that Jesus and the disciples would face. They would also face challenges among themselves, too. For example, right after this story, they come down from the mountain and they get into a squabble between other disciples and legal experts. And then the disciples, after that, in a few chapters, they're unable to heal a boy, which Jesus has to do. Of which then Jesus says, "You faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you?" You know, we like to read the Transfiguration story, I think, as a literary device, right? The foreshadowing of the glory of the resurrection. Biblical scholars love to debate its connection to Old Testament prophecy and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think this story is much more simple than that. I think this story of encounter and mystery can help fuel the disciples for the hard journey ahead. What stories and experiences anchor you and your faith? What stories and experiences do you come back to when the time gets tough? Now, isn't it interesting that usually these experiences of the divine are ones of awe and wonder, ones that we don't really have certain answers or facts to give? It wasn't the exact positioning of the rainstorm and the light being dispersed into the spectrum of wavelengths through the raindrops to form a rainbow that was so powerful for me coming to Missoula. It was the moment of certainty that I had that I am not quite so certain in how to describe fully. That's what I believe the disciples felt as well. When seeing Jesus transfigured before them, it is, in a way, the uncertainty of these experiences that, ironically, I think, propelled them forward into the journey. But here's the thing. I think some of it falls on us as well. For God says, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. You know, Abby and I could have not been listening. We could have been banging our heads to loud music. We could have been stressfully bickering with each other, as I remember we were tempted to do many times during that trip. We could have largely ignored the outside scenery and been distracted with conversing on our smartphones. But we weren't. We were open in a way that allowed this rainbow, the divine, to come into our lives and to change us just a little bit. Throughout the season of Lent, we will be talking about discipleship and being a disciple of Christ in this time and place. And I've invited several members of our church family to share their thoughts on being a disciple at our Wednesday evening soup supper, which begins next week. So call this a shameless plug, an invitation for all of you to come on Wednesday evenings and support your fellow church members in sharing about this. But beyond that, I think there is a call to us to listen as disciples. Because without listening, the ordinary does not become the extraordinary. Peter, James, and John could have said, well, I'm kind of tired. I'm not going to make the hike up the mountain. Peter could have been gathering firewood and doing something else, I don't know, and missed the entire thing. But instead, their listening made them present for an experience that they would not fully understand or comprehend. But an experience that would propel them, that would carry them through a lot of really challenging times. You know, our world is not short on challenging times right now. And we all know that. It seems perhaps we need more than ever transfiguration experiences. Experiences that can carry us on perhaps our own journeys to Jerusalem. And so may we then have the courage to be listening, to be open to these experiences of God. May they inspire us to continue our work in proclaiming that good news of hope, of peace, and of love in Jesus Christ. Amen.